Media host and producer of World Music Views, J.R. Watkiss, will be taking his exclusive interviews online with the World Music Views podcast. The show that is also aired on TVJ's Entertainment Report will transform into full-length interviews with a number of dancehall and reggae greats.
YouTube certainly validated music consumption in the Caribbean community.
World Music Views podcast is now available on all streaming platforms.
Let's go. That by Psy featuring Sugar is the top song in Canada and globally with 70 million streams. Hey. Go by Cat Burns is the top song in the UK. Super Gremlin by Kodak Black is the top song in the US. The Heart Part 5 by Kendrick Lamar is the top buzzing song in the US, UK, and Canada. In Jamaica, History by Massacre is at number 5. Taliban by Skeng and Stark Ashley at number 4. London by Skeng at number 3. Gunman Shift by Skeng again at number 2. And the new number 1 this week is Code by Briscoe. Code. On Spotify, As It Was by Harry Styles is the top song globally. Top album is I Never Liked You by Future. Future's I Never Liked You also debuted at number 1 on the Billboard 200 albums chart. And his single Wait For You featuring Drake and Thames took the top spot on the Billboard Hot 100. The debut makes Thames the first Nigerian artist to debut at number 1 on the Hot 100. Other debuts on the Hot 100 include Puffin' on Zooties by Future at number 4 and Honest by Justin Bieber and Don Toliver at number 44. In other news, Chet Hanks told talk show host Ziwi that he is responsible for popularizing the Jamaican patois.
Small.
What, do you even speak patois?
I mean, not really.
Not really?
Young Thug and Gunna were arrested on racketeering charges earlier this week, and Elon Musk thinks chocolate milk is insanely good. Mwah! Baby by Aich and Ashanti is now certified silver in the UK. The featured actor this week is Taylor Page, known for her roles as Asha Hayes in the VH1 series Hit the Floor and in White Boy Rick.
I need you to fight for yourself. The same way you fight for being Chinese.
Taylor won the Independent Spirit Award for Best Female Lead for Zola and the NAACP Award for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Most recently, Paige is featured on Kendrick Lamar's Mr. Morale and Big Steppers album on the track We Cry Together, which was released today.
All right, so this is Makeda Bramwell, attorney at law, and you are watching World Music Views with J.R. Watkiss. All right.
Yes, so what's up? How are you?
I am doing well. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me.
So I don't know how many music shows you've been on thus far. Have you?
You're my first.
First music show. So welcome to World Music Views. And I read a couple things that you've been doing with the culture, with lawyering and educating people on living. And there's one thing that stuck out for me in an article where you said people shouldn't run off. And people were saying, what is this girl talking about? Because a lot of people run off and made themselves straight. So what do you mean by people shouldn't run off? If they see a better way to access life and they want an opportunity, are you saying they shouldn't take a chance to find legal status in the US?
All right. So definitely that's not what we were saying in the article. I think what it is a lot of persons, especially in our culture, they see a headline and they're run with the headline, but they haven't actually clicked on the link and read the article. And I think that is what has happened. No, but as you know, there are many immigrants who run off every day to make a better life and add a better way for their families. As an attorney practicing in immigration law for years, what I have seen though is persons run off and they haven't taken the necessary steps to regularize their status. So if it is that you're planning to run off or you're planning to do what you need to do, you must have a plan. It can't be that you are just going to run off with no plan in sight, right? And so what I encourage persons to do is if you come to America or Canada, the first thing that you need to do if you are planning to migrate permanently is to speak to an attorney. Talk to them about your options. Here is who I am. I'm here. My plan is to stay here. Please help me find a way. Please tell me about the options, because oftentimes there are options available that you don't have to run off. You can immediately regularize yourself and change your status from a visiting visa to a temporary resident or a work permit or something. But what it is that when persons, you know, overstay their time and then make it difficult for themselves because they're now out of status, they're hiding from the system, you know, if they're living in this oblivion, it's really not good for themselves, for their families, who they leave back home, oftentimes children, right? When they could have, from day one, regularized it. So we're not saying don't have your plans. What we're saying is, you know, with the plan, find a strategy and speak to an attorney who is competent and knowledgeable about the process.
First thing, somebody just want to migrate, whether they're there already or are leaving from another country to migrate to America or Canada, what's the first thing you tell them when they come in your office?
Right. So the first thing I ask is, what's your plan? What's your short term? What's your long term plan? And then we do an immigration assessment. We look at your educational background. We look at if you don't have the requisite education, we look at the experience that you have, the work experience that you have. Right. We look at the family connection that you have. We look how much money you have. Or is there a skill that you have that can be deemed unique, you know, to put together some sort of package for you to submit to immigration? So that's what we do as attorneys, is we look at your overall, you know, package and then we advise you as to what the next step is. So one thing I tell persons, if you're on a visiting visa and you come into my office, how long have you been in the country? Let me extend your status for you. So at no time at all, you are out of status. At no time at all, police can pick you up or chase you around or be looking for you because you are in status. And then from there, we can change your status.
As it relates to the music and entertainment industry, there's a visa called the 0201 visa that high-skilled professionals need to go and perform in the US. There's no such visa needed, by the way, for an American performer who wants to perform in Jamaica. You can just get up as an American and come and perform here. You can get up as a Canadian and just come perform here. But the reverse is not so. How would you advise someone that's an artist to go about getting that visa so they can perform in America and Canada?
Right. So, I mean, generally, as you say, the reverse is not so. And it is really just for the government of Jamaica to put those measures in place, right? So that artists coming here will have some sort of the requirements. But it's really not as difficult as persons make it out to be to apply for an entertainment visa for the US or for Canada. Again, if you speak to an attorney, they'll quickly advise you that in Canada, we do have entertainment visas. In the US, we do have it. And so what it is that you need is you need to you know, have a producer or someone overseas to send you a job offer to say, you know, you're performing on this show and this is what you require, a contract, right? For the amount of time that you'll be in America performing, whether, you know, it's a tour that you are doing or whether it's you're coming up to do recordings or so on. You just need to provide evidence that this is a contract that you have with this particular producer and you're able to go. Notwithstanding that, a lot of artists have sometimes, you know, issues, you know, criminal records and so on. It's not to say that you can't, you know, get a visa with it, but oftentimes it is more challenging to get that sort of approval or authorization if you do have a criminal record. So you have to make sure that as an artist, you keep yourself, right? You keep yourself out of trouble, right? Because America and Canada, when it comes to that, is very, very stringent. But it's not to say that you can't get it, because we have done applications where there has been some sort of record in the past, and we were able to apply for authorization and get that approval for that artist.
Okay, cool. So in the case of Beanie Man, who it was in the news recently that he will be getting back his visa, or he's about to get it. The announcement came in the papers, or I think it was on Dancehall magazine, how likely he is to get back his visa, which was taken from him several times already, by the way. Taken from, given back. How likely is it for him to get it back now?
Well, let me say, I can't speak to Beanie Man's case specifically. I don't know the facts or the details with regards to his specific case. But what I can say is that it's definitely possible if he has proven to immigration authorities that, you know, this is a legitimate offer that he has in the U.S. and that for whatever has happened in the past, he has sort of provide some explanation or provide some sort of rehabilitation, right? Evidence of rehabilitation. And so as attorneys, we have, you know, the power to apply for discretionary measures. And so immigration authorities, they are empowered to grant those discretionary visas from time to time. So while I can't speak to that, I can say that it is definitely possible for him to get it back. And that is wonderful news for him if he gets it back.
There is another situation where artists from Jamaica sign record deals. They release songs and then they probably do one or two albums later on. They don't feel like they're treated fairly by record labels who are American record labels or are located in America. And then they decide to sue them. One pending case right now is with Etana, who is suing VP Records to that effect. What do you advise artists to do at the beginning of getting into record deals?
So again, I can't emphasize enough to entertainers to get your own lawyer, get your own attorneys. So if it is that you are going to be negotiating with a producer or a record label, make sure that you have your own independent advice. A lot of persons will say, oh, I don't have money to pay this lawyer. But really and truly, you know, I'd rather, you know, you negotiate with your lawyer and make some sort of, you know, arrangement with them. Oftentimes, too, is that we think, you know, entertainers think that the record label have their best interests at heart. And the truth is, they only have their own best interests at heart. And you're one of the pawn in what they need to achieve, you know. And so it's so important that you seek your own independent legal advice and your own independent legal representation.
And then there is when the song is made, in the case of Shensia with Lick, where the song wasn't cleared and the song was released by the label. And then the artists get mixed up in that litigation. How much of a stake should artists have in how their songs are released and cleared? Because at the end of the day, they get sued as well, as well as the record label.
Right, because they would be singing the song. And so what it is when these litigation commences is that they're named as a party to the litigation. And so they have to get their own attorneys to represent their interests at that point. And so from the outset, they should be involved as much as possible. And oftentimes artists only want to focus on the artist part of it, right? They don't want to focus on the management. They don't want to focus on the other areas of it. But it's so important for them to have their own independent legal representation who can always from the outset review whatever contracts, review, you know, a lot of things so that they can, you know, limit whatever liabilities that they're exposed to in the future. So I can't stress this enough. As an artist, always have your own independent. If you're going into a management contract, if you're going into any, going to sign with a record label, get your own independent lawyer and say, please review this for me. You know, what is your recommendation? Because as attorneys, you know, what we do, we provide practical advice about what's going to happen. You know, how are you exposed, you know, in terms of liability and how we can prevent that in the future. So that is what we do.
On a money level, right? Why would I need a lawyer? And I ask that because whenever negotiations happen with Jamaican acts, they tend to get lowballed with the money, even if they have a lawyer. I don't know if the lawyer go in with the lowball or they just end up can't negotiate that. But from a money standpoint, what do you think a Jamaican artist should be commanding from a record label, money-wise? Record label see you, let's say a Skilly Bang who's just coming, don't have any big hits yet. Young act, or a Skeng, or any one of those young guys just coming, they're hot in Jamaica. Record label see them, want to sign them. How much money you think they should ask for from a record label? And how much money would you?
It depends on the contract.
How much money would you negotiate? Yeah, go.
All right. So it depends. One, it's a number of factors that are at play right here. So you're looking at whether or not the artist is coming to the table with anything at all, and what it is that the record label is putting up for them. Are they investing totally in their career? And if so, you know, what exactly, how much? Because remember, a lot of artists come to the table, you know, and they really only have talent. They don't have the resources that they need in terms of, you know, the money to produce these songs, the money for the clothing, you know, to provide the status and all of that. A lot of producers and record label will put that up front. So in terms of what would I ask? It depends. It depends on how much song is required of me. And usually it goes by a percentage. It usually is a negotiation in terms of percentage, whether it's by song or whether it's for a length of time. So let's say if there's a 12-month contract, you know, the record label might say, look, I'm going to take 60% or 40% of whatever you make from this time to this time. You owe me 10 songs or you owe me an album with 30 songs. And from that album, we expect to make $20 million, right? Or $100 million. So therefore, I'm taking 40 or 50% of that, or up to 70, 60% of that in some cases, right? And that's because of the amount of work and resources that record label invests. So as an artist, what are you coming to the table with? How much are you putting up for yourself? Is it just talent that you're coming up with? How long do you want to sign with this particular record label? Is it going to be for 5 years? Is it going to be for 10 years? Are they going to own, you know, all of my records, right? what intellectual property rights do I have, right? Do I need to trademark prior, you know, anything that I had prior to coming to the table? All of these things that you need to talk about. And so I can't tell you what those lawyers negotiate, because oftentimes it's on the instructions of the clients that we go by. We will say to them, don't take it, but they see the opportunity and they say, look, I want a bus. So I'm going to take it for now, but eventually they suffer underneath that contract for the next 5 years, right? Because what they're looking at is the here and now, and how do I get out of poverty, or how do I get out of this particular area? So, you know, again, it depends on the situation. It depends on the individual before me and what we're doing. But it's always, as a lawyer, it's always my interest to negotiate what's best for my client, unless they say otherwise.
Do you think artists should sign away their masters, which most of them do?
Again, it depends on the situation. I think that an artist should strive to hold on to their masters. This is your body of work. This is your legacy, right? But oftentimes the contracts don't always come this way. And so it could be a deal breaker. It could be a deal breaker for a record label to sign an artist if they decide not to give up the masters for that. Right. And so as an artist, if nobody has recognized you, and if you see $50 million in front of you right now for your masters, and you're in poverty and you're trying to look a boss, right? You need this, right? And it's about signing away your body of work that you're going to make for the next 10 years. Would you take this $50 million? Or do you say, no, I'll stay in poverty and work until I can independently make my way? Right. And then a lot of artists, you know, when they do make the money, they don't look at purchasing back or renegotiating to get back their masters. Right. Sometimes they have to do that.
Which is an option.
And we know a lot of artists will go back and purchase their masters. Right. There's quite a few.
So how valuable do you think reggae and dancehall music is on the international scene? As someone touching different points.
I can't stress it enough. I think reggae and dancehall is huge and can be huger. I think what it is we've had an infiltration from other genre into our culture. And we have really stepped up and really owned it, right? We're looking almost for acceptance from America when we are the talented one, the ones who from day one has, you know, control of dancehall and reggae and ska and all of these things. But we always are looking for validation from North America and from other cultures. But reggae and dancehall is huge on the international scene, and it is, we need to own it, and we need to, and now it's crossed over to everywhere, really. Right. So now is a good time for artists in this genre to really go out and promote it and push it. And Jamaica needs to really back the artists that are going out there. We can't see, like, for example, we have Ashensia who is trying to cross over, but she does both. And we're not I don't feel like we're supporting her as we really should. Right. There's a lot of, you know, people in Jamaica. She's out and everybody's saying this or saying that. We need to rally behind our artists, and we really need to push them and push them as far as we can. I'm so proud of Coffee, I tell you. She's doing her own unique thing, right? And she's big and she's huge out there. I don't think we appreciate Coffee right now in the space that she's in, but she is big out there. She's big on the international stage.
So you are a Sheng Yang.
I definitely love Shensia. Shensia and Coffee, I'm so proud of them. So yes, I'm definitely a Sheng Yang, if that's what it's called.
Who are the people in your top five artists, your top five all-time favorites?
Oh my God, at the moment, my all-time favorite is definitely Taurus Riley, Shensia, Etana. I love Etana. Shaggy and Coffee.
Wow. So Shensia, yeah. Shaggy, Etana, Coffee, and Taurus.
And Taurus. And I always love Beanie Man, but you know, these are the young artists. And so I want to give the young artists an opportunity. But Beanie Man I'm also a fan of Beanie Man from years back.
Taurus is my brethren. He's gonna be happy you call him young artist.
Yes, well, I mean, he's in one of those categories, separate and apart from Beanie Man. I love Spice as well. Spice is definitely, you know, someone that I admire. She has shown a lot of resilience over the years, and she has really paved her own way, you know, really paved her own way. And I'm really proud of Spice as well. So big up to Spice.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So what are you working on now? Like what cutting edge, without revealing your clients, tell me, what are you working on now that's keeping you excited as a lawyer?
Well, I mean, one of the things that we are definitely promoting, I mean, I do a lot of immigration law, and my law firm right now, does U.S. and Canadian immigration law. My partner, Sekou Clark, is our U.S. immigration lawyer based in Atlanta, Florida, Panama City, and New York, and Toronto. And now we've just launched our law firm in Kingston. And so we want to work with a lot more young Jamaican artists to provide visa opportunities for them to come over to Canada and or the US, right? To work and to push their way forward. So that's definitely something that we have been promoting, and we have been trying to work with a lot of upcoming artists. And there's a few other things I can't say, but there's a few producers who have some young artists that, you know, we've been trying to help to structure and to manage the thing properly. Because what we find, you know, a lot of young producers are very talented out here, but as soon as they work with the artists and the artists start getting some recognition, we have the big wigs from the US that flew in and take them over, and then they get cut out of the deal. And so what we want to do is to help some of these young producers structure their thing, so as the artists grow, that they are not left behind in the process.
So I'm an author, and I just released my third book. Could you help me to get the author's visa and the performance visa?
Yes, absolutely. You know, one of the things is that once you are in the space, so one of the requirements for, let's say, Canada, is that if you can prove to the Canadian government that you have been in this space for a minimum of 2 years, right, with a full body of work, you're registered or employed by someone, then it is possible to get that visa. So you just have to show 2 years of experience as an artist, as a creative, let me say creative, because there are so many people that are within the space that are not just entertainers, but they could be sculptors or painters or producers or, you know, authors or creative writers that can apply for the visa as well.
And if someone want to reach you, someone want to reach your office, how do they reach you?
Absolutely. So in Kingston, Jamaica, we're located at 34 Annett Crescent, Unit 202. And that's just across our Mega Mart and Waterloo, right? Just above the Canadian High Commission office. And then in Toronto, we're in North York. So we are at 951 Wilson Avenue, and that's in North York. And then in Florida, we're in Winter Gardens. So on social media, you can follow me at Toronto Lawyer, which is LAWYA, Toronto Lawyer, or at Corradec Clark Law Group. So Corradec Clark Law Group, that's on social media, which is Instagram, Facebook, Corradec Clark Law Group, or at Minute with Makeda. I do have my podcast that we talk about all things law, life, and love. So at Minute with Makeda. So definitely you can follow us at Corradec Clark or my partner at Attorney Sekou. Attorney Sekou Clark.
Awesome. That's it for World Music Views. For more music news, log on to worldmusicviews.com and download the WMV app. Follow World Music Views on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And follow me at JR Watkiss on Instagram. I'm JR. See you next week.